shabby boy. You belong to glory, reserve all the truth. Jesus have it all, Jesus have it all. Blessing and all honor, majesty and love. Jesus have it all, Jesus have it all. The glory, praise of all the world. Jesus have it all, Jesus have it all. Blessing and all honor, majesty and awe. Oh, Jesus have it all. Oh, Jesus have it all.
Oh, prayer this morning. Just the voices.
All my days, all my life, have it all. Sing again. All my days, all my life, have it all. One more time, sing it out. Sing all my days. All my life, have it
us, Lord, to live lives where you have it all. Not just our worship, Lord, but our entire life. Help us live lives, Lord, where you have it all, where you are our all. You are everything. And help us, Lord, with our weaknesses. Keep pulling back things from you, or keep getting attracted to things of this life that distract us. Or even try to destroy us. Help us truly mean it, Lord, when we say have it all. Because you are our all in all. Without you, Jesus, we would be nothing. We would truly have nothing. Even if we amassed all the wealth of the world, without you, it would amount to nothing. Jesus, have it all. Have it all. Take a few minutes, greet each other. There's some coffee out there. I don't know if there's treats. Yeah, there's treats out there. No? Yes? Lexi is so sweet to make something every week, and they're like something you would get at a bake shop, so I highly encourage you to try them. Bless you. Love you. We'll see you in a few minutes. All right. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and do the heart of the house this morning. This is a declaration that we do as a body. We do one over the city. We do these about every other week, and this week we're going to do Heart of the House. So this is a declaration that we're going to speak out, because there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And if you would join with me standing and proclaiming nice and loud what we believe God wants to do in this house, in our lives. If you'd join me on one, two, three.
I declare that God is building our church.
God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time.
Yes, Lord, we do. We just declare that over this house, Lord. We declare that over not just this church, but, Lord, that churches all over the valley, Lord, that we would be able to truly reach Yakima, one heart and one soul and one life at a time. Lord, that we would be able to make a difference in our workplaces. We'd be able to make a difference, Lord, in our schools. God, that we would be able to make a difference, Lord, with our families and our friends, Lord, in our recreational time, God, that we would be able to make a difference. Lord, you have called us, Lord, to this time for such a time as this. You've called us to this place in this world for such a time as this. So, Lord, we just submit and we yield our lives to you, and we do. We declare that we will reach Yakima Valley, Lord, one life at a time. Help us, God, to do that. Help us, Lord, to be fully equipped and ready, Lord, to present the gospel, Lord, with words and sometimes just with actions to show your love. And we just thank you, Jesus, for this declaration you've given us, Lord, that we believe you are working all things together for our good in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. We've got just a couple announcements. On September 1st, there's going to be a Jesus March at 3 p.m. That is actually Labor Day. And so we have a week or so to get ready for it. This is going to be at the Grace of Christ Presbyterian Church where we're going to meet. And then at 6:30 p.m., Let Us Worship event at 6:30 p.m. at 1301 South Fair Avenue. Is that like a park? It's the fairgrounds. Okay. Should have just said the fairgrounds. 1301 South Fair Avenue is the fairgrounds. So we're going to meet at 6:30 at the fairgrounds. And this is just a as it says, Let Us Worship Time Revive in 25. And so the idea is to just come and lift Jesus higher as a city and to just let people be hopefully drawn to the Lord from our worship. Amen. And then the ladies are going to have a salad galore. That sounds like a lot of lettuce. Anyway, this is going to be September 25th, 2025. That's this year, at 6:30 to 7:30 downstairs. So ladies, all you'll have to do is invite family and friends and then bring a topping for the salad. So if you don't like someone else's topping, bring your own topping so you enjoy the salad. Then there'll be some homemade dressings. I know that. Then I want to thank everybody for giving to the house. We have a box up here that you can give in, and a box in the back. And then we also have online, you can give at onelifefamilyworship.com and just click the give button. And if the children would come up, we're going to pray over the kids. You're not coming up? Nope. Deacon says, no, thank you. I'll pray over this one. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this heart and this life, Lord. We pray, God, that as they go downstairs, Lord, and learn more about you, Lord, that you would become real in their lives. Lord, we just bless them. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in their hearts and their minds, Lord, even though they may not even understand it right now. We pray that you raise them up, Lord, to be the people of God that you've called them to be. We bless them and bless their teachers now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are going to talk about kind of something we just prayed about in our declaration. In I think it was the second slide. It says, move my heart where your heart moves. And should I just change right now? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no, you're good.
Am I good?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay, cool. And I titled my message today, What Moves Your Heart? What moves your heart? If you spend any time with Nancy and myself, we talk a lot about your heart. And if any time we're counseling somebody or we're ministering, we're always trying to get to the core of what is happening in your heart. Because we just believe that God cares so much about our heart. You know, one of my favorite verse, Proverbs 4:23. Talks about guarding your heart above all else. And it actually says, depending on the translation he reads, it talks about how with all diligence, right, for all the issues of life come from it. And so when I read verses like that, I think if there's such an emphasis on us guarding our heart, right, not follow your heart, which is what the world's message is, follow your heart, do whatever's in your heart, which is not biblical, right? The Bible actually talks about our words being, or our heart being full of deceit. And so, therefore, we need to guard our heart. And so, there is an importance, I believe, on what is in our heart, what are we allowing in our heart, and specifically today, I want to go after the things that are burdening your heart. Okay, the things that keep you up at night, the things that stress you out, the things that in the circumstances that you just don't know what to do with. Some things you've been carrying for decades, some things you've been carrying for years, some things you've been carrying just recently. But there's something getting stirred in your heart, and I believe today God wants to help us navigate what we should do in those moments. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray real quick and then I'll jump into this. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Pray a blessing, Lord, over today. We thank you for what you've already done. And God, I just pray that these words would be your words, God, that you would move, Lord, through me. You would move, Lord, through your people. And God, as we talk about your heart, as we process through the issues of the heart, God, most importantly, I pray that you would be in our heart, God. Today, Lord, let our hearts beat for what your heart beats for, God. And we just thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what moves your heart? Is it your family, your marriage, your workplace, your city? When I ask what moves your heart, again, it's not only the burdens, it's not only the things that keep you up at night and worry you, but it's also the things that excite you. If your family moves your heart, how much time and effort are you taking into bringing your family to the Lord, right? Not just in times of stress and turmoil, but at all times. Right? If your marriage moves your heart, how much time are you presenting that before the Lord? You know, now being married as long as we have, just a little over 19 years now, I realize how easy it is to take it for granted, for one, and also just coast. And if you're not careful, and anytime you're in a relationship a long time, it kind of just becomes this thing, which I believe is not fully the responsible, but is a part of why we see the percentage of divorce rate where we see it today, is because we don't hold it at its highest place like we should and prioritize it, and as Christians, actually bring it before the Lord. Okay, your families, your marriage, they actually need to be brought to the Lord at all times and not just wait until there's an emergency. Oh God, please save my marriage. God, please save my family. You probably would have less prayers like that if they were brought before the Lord at all times. Your workplace. You know, sometimes I think our workplace can become just another place where we get a paycheck, where we just, this is where we go and we clock in and we clock out and whatever. I believe though, however, that it is no accident that we are all in the workplaces we are. And so why are you there? What is your purpose there? Yes, praise God, it provides a paycheck. Praise God, it provides benefits. Praise God, it provides what it provides. Also, as a believer, what is your role there beyond what your title says? And what is in your heart for your workplace, for your coworkers, for your boss? You guys know your boss needs prayer too, probably more than anybody, right? And so in your city, you know, we do these declarations pretty frequently over our city, over our valley, right? And it, again, living in a place as long as some of you have always been here, you know, I grew up here, moved away for a while, and then came back. And it's easy, just like in marriage, to kind of coast. It just becomes the place you live. This is the place where, for whatever reason, I'm here. But again, if I go back to this thought of, God, why do you have me here? right? My mom was born in California. I could have been in California. I have tons of family in Texas. We could have been in Texas. I was born in Moses Lake. I could have been living in Moses Lake. Thank God I did not live in Moses Lake. But I've been there. I grew up going there, and I was just like, there is nothing here. But why did God have us where he has us? He has us here in the valley for a reason. And like we always declare, there is a role and there is a mandate that we have to spread the gospel, be the light of Jesus wherever we go in our spheres of influence. Amen. So I want to read about Nehemiah. If you're like me, you know, I've read through the Bible a handful of times over my span of being a believer, and there are certain books and certain stories and certain people that stick in my mind. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I've read about Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors. Okay, great. Oh, I've read about Daniel. I've read about, you know, all these people. And obviously the Gospels, you know, you read about Jesus and all this stuff. But then there's these stories, which I sat under a teaching recently where they kind of opened up this book of Nehemiah, and I realized I didn't know anything about Nehemiah, really. I've read this, but I didn't really get a hold of my heart. And what I'm really impressed by, which we're going to get to, is Nehemiah's response to being in dismay or turmoil. And so starting in Nehemiah 1, it says this, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Okay, this is key. Pay attention. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, and this is Nehemiah writing this, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, some translations say many days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What is Nehemiah's immediate response? It was to pray. And as the story goes on, and we're not going to read it all today, but I encourage you to read it. He goes to the king, and he asks for permission to go, and they end up building the wall of Jerusalem back up. And they face many trials, and people are making fun of them. And this whole thing, and they have to you know, with one hand they're building, with the other hand they have their sword, and it's a great story. It's an amazing story. But as you read more and more in Nehemiah, what you see is Nehemiah's response was to pray. What is your knee-jerk reaction to what is getting stirred in your heart? Is it to pray? As believers, we have to ask ourselves this question, because as you know, anybody who's lived any length of time, right, we know that life is going to happen and things are going to happen, and we're going to face trials, and we're going to face deaths, and we're going to face you know, unexpected bills. We're going to face just things that happen and that make life not so fun. And as believers, right, the difference between us and the rest of the world is that we have this great resource, the greatest resource we could ever have, that being God. And we have this connection with God, right, where we get to come to. We don't have to come to Pastor Mike and say, Pastor, can you please pray to God for me? Right? Not saying it's bad to do that, but we don't actually have to do that. We have connection with God. If you said yes to Jesus, you then have connection to God. You have his immediate line straight to him, right? But do you have him on speed dial? Now, we don't use speed dial anymore. But back in the day, I remember there was a way on your phone where you would hold the number. You would program the number. And then into, like, it could be 1, 2, or 3. And I think you would hold 1 and then it would call Mom, right? And I wouldn't have to dial her number, right? So anyways, that was free. Speed dial, though. Do we have God on speed dial? Is that our first knee-jerk reaction? Or is our knee-jerk reaction in the spirit worry, anxiety, anger, aggravation, or my personal favorite, being annoyed? And I say my personal favorite because that's probably where I land most of the time. When life happens and when life gets harder, where stress comes up, annoyed is probably where I have to fight the most to stay out of. And any of the things I just read, if you know anything about the fruit of the Spirit, none of those are listed in the fruit of the Spirit. So what is our knee-jerk reaction? There's another story in the Gospels, and there's a man named Lazarus, and he dies, and Jesus gets word that he dies, and this is sometimes can be a confusing story because it's like, well, Jesus, if you knew this was going to happen, and if you could if you could just heal him, why not just say it out and he be healed? But there's this great, we get to go on this journey with Jesus, and I want to pick it up in John 11, verse 32. It's 32 to 35, not 25. Does it go backwards? It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied, Jesus wept. Jesus, the story goes, Jesus then calls Lazarus out of the tomb. He had been in there for 4 days, right? And this is a miracle. But Jesus' heart wasn't only broken for himself, but it was broken for them. Jesus looks around and sees everybody weeping. And his heart wasn't only burdened for what was going on in him emotionally, but was going on in the people. He cared because they cared. He cared because they cared. You know, we did this announcement, Revive in 25. And God, here's what I'll say about this. Because we have our different opinions as a staff, I would say, about these type of events, these things where big churches get together and they gather and stuff. And I think it's great. Let me start by saying that. I think it's great in that churches all over every city should gather. We're on the same team. We're not gangs. It's not our church versus the church down the road. That's not how it works, right? We're all on the same team. So I do believe that churches should be getting together. Also, at the same time, I believe that God can move without a big event. I believe that God can move through the one just as much as he can through the 2,000 or 3,000 or whatever, okay? So, but at the same time, God, I believe this, that God is going to move at Revive in 25 because he cares about what we care about. It's not because of the churches that are involved. It's not because of the pastor's name that's in there. It's not because of the special worship team. It's because God cares about what we care about. And when we come together as the house of God and we say, this is what we care about. We care about Yakima actually seeing revival. We care about the lame walking again. We care about the blind seeing again. We care about the person on the street that has nothing and that they have something. This is what we care about. And if we can go into it with that heart as our little small church can go and be a part of this, I believe then we will see a move. Because events like this, they come and go and they happen all the time and nothing happens, right? It was a cool worship event. Awesome. We worship God. Not to say it was pointless. However, if we're truly going after, there's going to be a literal march. Okay, we're meeting at one place, and however many people show up, they're going to march from one location to another location. And there's going to be people, and we're going to be shouting Jesus, and it's going to be cool. Again, God's heart moves because our heart is moved by this. So if we go into it, not just us, but everybody, God's going to care. It's the heart of God's people coming together for our city is what moves God's heart. So my first point today is this. God sees it. God sees it. Skyly was just reminding me of this story yesterday. So my stepdad has been in our life for a long time since the kids were really little. And one of his favorite things to do is to just mess with the kids and always make jokes and whatnot. And one of the things he would tell Skyly and Caden when they were little is you better, you know, watch out because Santa's watching, right? And you know, we believe in Santa in our house. Also, we believe in Jesus so much more. And since our kids were raised that way, Skyly looked at him and says, Santa isn't watching. Jesus is watching, right? And so Jesus, and recently, just funny enough, my son, my youngest son, my four-year-old, he apparently I can't joke because Jesus isn't happy with it. So if I'm joking around, if you know me, it's like my love language is joking around and messing with people. If I'm joking around and taking taking jabs at somebody or whatever. He goes, Dad, you can't joke like that. Jesus is watching. And Jesus says, this is my four-year-old. I'm not making this up. He just told me this morning on the way to church. Jesus, Dad, don't stop joking. Jesus is watching. So God sees it. So even when it doesn't look like it, God sees it. Amen? He sees your burdens. He sees your desires. He sees your dreams. He sees your circumstances. We can't, we have to get out of the mindset that this right here is for Jesus. I bring this to Jesus, but this over here, I can't show Jesus. He sees it, right? He sees it all. So God sees it. Psalm 23, 1 through 3, famous verse, when we read it amplified, says, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Gosh, how many of you guys are glad that we serve a God that cares? Yeah. We serve a God that cares. We have to refuse to believe the lie that he doesn't. And I know there's a lot of things to navigate here, because sometimes I just sat down with an individual this last week, and this was somebody who served in the church and worked for the church, and we forget sometimes, because it's the church, that yes, even though God needs to be the head, at the end of the day, churches are ran by man, right? And unfortunately, what happens is man will get in the way and will hurt people. And this individual who grew up in church, worked in church, loved the church, is an amazing worshiper, got hurt, and to this day doesn't really have, like, still believes in God, still believes in Jesus, which is amazing, but doesn't actually have a church body, a family. But we serve a God who cares, and we have to believe, refuse to believe the lie that he doesn't. And so, yes, the hurt was wrong, but God still cares. Amen. Let's not forget the greatest sacrifices of all, Jesus, was made just for us. This isn't just a John 3:16, a throwaway verse. This is a declaration of love that he made for us, because he still cares. My second point is this. Your heart stirs it. So when I say stir, because there's these funny and interesting church words that people use sometimes, and then we never explain them, and they're just what it is, right? But when we say stir, it's more than just like something that's exciting, right? It's more than an emotion. It comes from the deepest part of you. When you're stirred for something, in the spirit especially, it's coming from a deep part inside of you. Right? So when I say I'm stirred for the youth of this generation, right? That's less about a job title. That's less about a speaking opportunity. That's way more about the depths inside of me that want to see young people come to know Christ and come to know their identity. Meaning, I will do anything and everything to make sure I'm a part of that happening. So it's less about an emotion. So your heart stirs it. And action can be prayer. I believe action is prayer. And prayer is action. But is God asking you to do more? Because as believers, sometimes what we do is, because we have this... Prayer is important, amen? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page about that. Also, let's make sure we're not using prayer as a cop-out to not do something. Oh, I heard about whatever. We'll be praying for you. Yes, pray about it. Also pray, God, what is my role in this? Yes, we should pray. We should submit everything before the Lord. But I think sometimes what could happen is we'll pray for you as that is kind of my telling you I'm going to do something. When in reality, God's like, yes, I want you to pray for it. But also in your prayer, I'm actually calling you to go do something about this. Years ago, we had a family reach out to us, and they said, hey, we've been praying, and we really feel led to sow into your guys' life. Cool. And they ended up giving us money. I like free money. If you want to give me money, Yes, I'll take the money, right? And I thought, like, hey, that's a one-time gift. Praise God. Thank you. I'm always thankful when those type of things happen. But what ended up happening, they felt so led to sow into us and sow into our ministry and sow into what we were doing. They gave us money monthly for nearly 2 years. This is an example to me of going beyond, oh, we're just going to pray for the Lopez's and what they're doing. And actually, we're going to allow God to stir us, and we're going to put action to it. It's rarely comfortable, okay? It's rarely comfortable, but again, God's not really concerned about our comfort. He is concerned about our obedience. He is concerned about getting us out of our comfort zone and asking us to do something that's going to shake us up. But again, God is looking for willing and obedient hearts. The individuals we read about in the Bible, they were willing to listen to the voice of God. Majority of the people that we read about aren't people that are so special. They're regular people that were put in a position where they were asked to do something for the Lord, and they obeyed. That's what set them apart from the other people, the many millions of people that we don't read about in the Bible. The things that set them apart is they were willing, that they were obedient. Even when it would cost them everything, they were obedient. I don't have the scripture up yet right now, but in Acts there's a guy by the name of Ananias, and Ananias is the one that goes to Saul, who then becomes Paul, after Paul has an encounter with Jesus. Paul being the one who was persecuting Christians, and I love talking about Ananias, because without Ananias, I don't know if we have a Paul story, which then changed the church as we know it. And we have Ananias get a word from God to go to the guy who he should be running from, right? And go and pray with him. And it wasn't that he was some special person. He was just a willing person. And what comes from that is then Paul getting free, and then Paul going on the amazing crusade that he did to see many of people come to know the Lord, that is still impacting people today. My third point is this: God stewards it. Some of the best type of friends you can have are people who you can trust to steward what you care about. Right, some of the best people you can trust are people that you know. Like, I know that you have my family's best interests in mind. I know that if you come over and ask to borrow something, I can trust you with that. I can trust that you're going to bring it back better. Right, this is a big core value of Nancy's, especially, is that when we go somewhere, that we leave it better than we found it. We're stewarding that space, right? Jesus, our God, we can trust with our heart, with what is deep in our heart, because he'll steward it. Amen. God stewards it. Psalm 37, 4-6 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." There's some direct things in here that we must do. It says that you must take delight. Take delight in the Lord. Actually enjoy being a Christian every once in a while. Enjoy reading your word. Enjoy praying. Enjoy coming to church. Enjoy being in his presence. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way. That is not just the things that you want to bring to him, but everything. I commit this marriage to you. I commit this family to you. I commit this work day to you. I commit this school day to you. I commit everything to you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. If there's any one person, if there's any one being that I would say doesn't need to earn your trust, it is our God. Amen. I'm a firm believer in trust being earned. I'm a firm believer in it's trust isn't just freely given, right? Trust is earned. I've seen your character. I've seen who you are. I've seen how you treat your the people around you. I've seen how you treat your life. Therefore, I can trust you. Our God is a trustworthy individual. And because of our upbringing or because of our life or because of how people have hurt us, unfortunately what happens is we then take that distrust or we take that hurt or we take that whatever that is and we transfer that over to our relationship with God. And we say, well, God, because these individuals hurt me or this one person hurt me or because my parents didn't treat me right or because or whatever the thing is, I struggle with trust with you. And I would encourage you, if that's you today, that you would do some heart surgery and ask yourself the real question, do I trust God? Do I trust God to steward my life? Because our privilege that we have is to take what's in our heart and bring it before Him. And God is after all of our heart, every single part of it. We do not serve a God that just is satisfied with just a little piece of what we can give Him. He desires it all. He desires every single part of us. Trust our God is not just, trusting in our God is not just blind trust. It's trust with purpose. Are there times where this is what faith is, right? Are there times where we're asked to take a step and we don't know the step in front of us? Absolutely. If you choose to live a life of a disciple of Jesus, there's going to be times where, and we're obedient, there's going to be times where God says, hey, I need you to go do this thing. And you say, well, I actually don't know what that looks like. I don't know how to do that thing. And then we just take the step. And we can't see it. We don't even know if we're going to land on anything. And we take the step, and then we do, and we're like, wow, that was so super cool. Praise God. Don't ever ask me to do that again, but that was awesome. So sometimes it's like that. Also, trust God with purpose. Trust God with intentionality, with everything. I want to leave you with these two questions. Number one, what is in your heart right now that you need God to handle? And I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say that every one of us has something. I have a really hard time believing, especially when, you know, you're with a group of people and we say, hey, does anyone need prayer? And no one lifts their hands. Just because I know that life happens. Sure, are there times where, like, life is good? Yes. Also, there are circumstances that we are maybe ignoring or maybe we just, this is always how it's going to be. We've just accepted the fate of whatever the condition is that God or that the doctor said is going to be or this is always how this relationship is going to be. There is never going to be a restoration. They're never going to change. These are the things that we need to bring before the Lord. One of the things I love and one of the things I get most frustrated by our pastor is his outlook on life because he's always kingdom-minded. I remember years ago I had a falling out with an individual and I was sitting with Pastor Mike and was like, we'll probably never be friends again. Like, it is what it is. That's the relationship. And I remember him looking at me and said, or you guys could be the best of friends and the relationship could get restored. God can restore the relationship. In the moment, I was like, okay, dude, relax. What ended up happening is that relationship did get restored. Our God is big enough to handle the situations that are on your heart. So the first one is, what is on your heart right now that you need God to handle? The second question I want to leave you with is, what is your part in seeing it handled? There are some things that we just have to lift up to God and open it, present it to Him with an open hand. There are some things. There are also some things where God's saying, okay, I need you to have a part in this as well. It could be relationship. I need you to go and ask for forgiveness. I need you to make the first move. I need you to sow into that thing. I need you, whatever the thing is. So what is in your heart right now that you need God to handle? What is your part in seeing it handled? And as we go back into worship, I want you to begin to ponder on these things. Allow these things to overwhelm you, if you will. Some of these things you may not want to face. Some of these things you may not want to handle. Some of these things you may not want to bring to the surface. But I believe today there's freedom in this place. And if our, like Nehemiah, our knee-jerk reaction, our response to God can be, God, I give this to you. I just truly believe that we can begin to see a move of God in each and every one of our lives. Because he cares. He truly cares. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, God, that the things that are on our heart, you care about. The things that are in our mind, in our spirit, you care about. God, as we lift it up to you, as we present it to you, Lord, as we leave this place, God, and submit it to you, lay it down at your feet, God, we trust. We trust that you'll handle it. God, I pray, Lord, for anybody in this place that maybe doesn't know what that looks like. They've never had to trust you. They've never had to submit things to you. They've kind of played it safe, God. I pray, Lord, today, Lord, you would raise up, Lord, a courage inside of them, Lord. Right now, begin to touch hearts, God, in this room. Lord, that we would not be people that would try to keep things from you or hide things from you. We would not be a people that try to do it on our own. But God, we would be people that would come before our Father, our loving Father, who sent his Son for us, who continues to pour out day after day his love and his mercy and his grace. Lord, that we would come before you, Lord, obedient and willing to just lay down these things, to lay down our marriages, God, to lay down our families, to lay down our workplaces, to lay down our schools, to lay down our city, God. Because again, you care about what burns in our heart, God. And we just ask today, Jesus, that as we lay these things down to you, Lord, that you would comfort us. Trust isn't easy. You would comfort us in that, God. Yeah, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. You belong to glory, praise of all the world. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Blessing in all honor, majesty in all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. You belong to glory, praise of all the world. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Blessing and all honor, majesty and all. Oh, Jesus, have it 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 all. Oh
Saying, no, you can keep that. I don't want to deal with that. Jesus desired it all. Amen. You guys have a great week, and let's go out and be the light of Jesus everywhere we go.